Going to read a few verses from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Words about Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is one Bible. There are two testaments in it, the Old and the New. There are 66 separate books in this Bible. I've had to Google this. There's 1,189 chapters in the book. There are 31,102 verses in the book. And the King James Version has got somewhere in the region of 785,000 words. This isn't the time to start counting them, by the way. This is the time to listen to the few that I've got today. But, you know, for all that, I think you can sum up this Bible in three words. Or actually, perhaps a series of three words. And I often try to do this, because it's a simple thing, our Christian faith. Later in the year, those of you who are regulars here, you'll see in our teaching program, we're doing a thing called OMG. And we've got God is Trinity, God is sovereign, God is love. Three word phrases that sum up the character of God. I reckon there are three words which sum up what our response to him should be, which is trust in God. And, you know, the testimonies we've heard today and the difficulties that one or two of these folks have gone through, the sum is, isn't it, that they've trusted in God and come through those difficulties, and that Christ walks with them. And there's one more little three-word sentence, really, that I can think of, that we make the focus of our service today. And it's three little words that each of these baptismal candidates will say once they're in the pool. And in fact, Hannah has said them already. And we've sung it, and we're going to sing it. And that is that Jesus is Lord. Now, maybe those three words don't sound too special to you. I don't know. But they're life-changing. They're habit-forming. They're value-forming. They're future-changing words. For any of us to say Jesus is Lord, it has that effect on our lives. You think, well, how does that work? Well, let's think about it. You see, to say Jesus is Lord is to link you with every Christian living on the planet today. Whatever culture, whatever background, however poverty they live in or wealth they live in any part of the planet, there are Christians today who are saying Jesus is Lord. And you saying it today links you with every Christian on the planet. So people are standing with you this morning to say, Jesus is Lord. It's a bond you have with people around the globe. You have a shared understanding, you have an empathy. And it does mean, and you found this, some of you, when you've been abroad to Zimbabwe, when you go to a different culture, when you go to Leamington even, a different culture completely, to worry. And meet people you've never seen, but who can say Jesus is Lord, then you have a bond with that person. You can shake hands and you can hug, because that same Jesus is Lord of your lives. And you see, that's geographically speaking. But not only have you linked yourselves with Christians around the world today, but you're also linking yourselves with every Christian who has ever lived. Right back to those first disciples, to Peter, to John, to Thomas, all of whom are recorded as saying that Jesus is Lord in John chapter 20 and 21. And in the rest of the New Testament period, as these letters are written, that part of which I've read this morning, it's proclaimed that Jesus is Lord, and it's believed that this was the first creed that Christians ever had. As simple as that, Jesus is Lord. It was a way of acknowledging one another. It was a way of proclaiming that Jesus is the one who is in control of your life. It's the theme of these letters. And again, early church history. You can read all about the fact that Christians proclaimed that Jesus is Lord, the thing that linked them together. So by the words we'll sing in a minute, and by the words you'll declare in this baptistry pool, you're linking yourself with every Christian alive today and who has ever lived. It's massive, isn't it? Great thing. Of course, I suppose it's possible to say these words and for them not to be life-changing. It's possible to say these words and not really understand the significance of what you're saying. Back in the early church, the Roman Empire ran from Spain in the west through to Israel and beyond in the east, from England and Wales in the north down to North Africa in the south. It's a massive area covering so many people and so many backgrounds and so many traditions, and therefore almost impossible to control. So Caesar had an idea. I'm not sure which one it was. One of them had an idea. Every year, every person would come to a central point, probably the market square in Warwick, and at an altar that had been built, they'd take a pinch of incense, they'd burn it over the flames, and they'd say, "Caesar is Lord. Caesar is my boss. I bow my knee to Caesar." And in so doing, this was Caesar's way of keeping you in line, of you declaring your allegiance to Rome. Now again, I guess most people might have gone along and thought, well, okay, something we've got to do, we'll just say it, that's fine, and then I can get on with the rest of my life. I dare say even some Christians will have gone along and said that, anything for a peaceful life, you know, let's just say it, and then we can worship Jesus as we want to do. But for some Christians, this was a step too far. You see, you can only have one Lord of your life. It goes, doesn't it? It's there in the sort of definition, you know, the one Lord, one Master. And for them, Jesus is Lord. Jesus was the Lord of their lives. Jesus was the only one who had a right to be the Lord of their lives. Jesus was the only one who was worthy of the title Lord. Jesus was the only one who actually would make a difference to their lives. And so they refused to bow the knee to Caesar and refused to call him Lord. Sometimes, probably the soldiers just think, oh, well, let them off. Sometimes it was a beating and prison. Occasionally, such Christians were taken to Rome. And you all know about the lions being fed to the lions. You maybe also know that Nero had a penchant for actually lighting Christians and using them as torches to light dark alleys. You see, these Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ, had discovered in Jesus not just someone worth living for, but someone worth dying for. You see, it's a life-changing thing to say that Jesus is Lord. It concentrates the mind a bit, doesn't it? It focuses your thoughts about what it means to say Jesus is Lord. Many of you will have heard bringing it forward a bit in history. Many of you will have heard the story, I'm sure, in communist times, where worship, public worship, was not allowed. And believers had to meet in secret with one person on the door watching out for the secret police or the army to come in. And the story is told of a group of Christians who were gathered together to worship when suddenly the doors burst open and two soldiers with rifles came in. And they said, "If you're Christians tonight, bow down on your knees. If you want to renounce your faith, you can leave the building." What would you have done? Where would you have been? I'd like to think I'd have been on my knees, staying in the building. But that may be because I know the end of the story. Because after they'd ushered those who wanted to renounce their faith out of the building and locked the doors behind them, the soldiers came in and knelt with those believers and asked for prayer with those they knew were sincere Christian believers. Where would we have been? And you're probably thinking, well, Roman emperors, communist soldiers, it's ancient history. What does it mean today to say that Jesus is Lord? What does it mean here today? Well, the principle's the same. To say that Jesus is Lord is to say, Jesus, I have decided that what the Bible says about you is true. And because of that, and we've heard this from this pulpit this morning from the guys who have been baptized, because of that, I want to live my life serving you and worshipping you, come what may, wherever I am, whoever I become, in whatever circumstances I find myself in. You are the Lord of my life. You are the master I want to serve. It's big. It was God himself who gave Jesus the title Lord. We read about it in these verses. Paul writes to these Philippians, and there's a bit of disharmony going on within the church, it would seem. And just prior to the bit I read, Paul writes, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then goes on to speak about Jesus humbling himself and giving his life for us. He lived amongst us for a while, then he died and was crucified on a cross. This was an act of sacrifice, self-sacrifice on his behalf. He was taking the blame for the sins of the world. He was taking the blame for your sins and my sins, that we might be forgiven. Because of this, it says, God raised him from the dead and exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name. The Lord of Lords. That at this name, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do we get this? One day, when he comes again, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, whether they want to or not. That's the way it will be one day when he's revealed in all his glory. And you see, we have the chance, don't we? And these guys have this chance this morning in this pool to proclaim right now that Jesus is Lord of their lives. To call him Lord is to acknowledge him as your master and to submit your will to his. It's a great privilege. There's another way to say it, of course, which is, I am your slave. We don't like slavery, do we, in the world today, although there's a lot of it around still. Slaves have no rights. Slaves can have no ambitions because they're bound to those who own them. Slaves have no life, actually, of their own. And what it means to say Jesus is Lord and therefore to say I am your slave is to say I have no rights except what you want for me. I have no ambitions and no desires and no values except those you give to me. I have no life except the one you live in me and through me. And I mean, this is massive, isn't it? But you know, it's a great life. And the rights we have are to speak to others of Jesus Christ and to love him and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the ambitions we have are godly ambitions and godly values that will make us into beautiful people. And the life we live with him living through us is an abundant life and a meaningful life. And it's a life filled with beauty and grace and truth and love and light. And who'd want a life any different to that? To say that Jesus is Lord, and I hope you listen to this bit, you've listened to nothing else. And the family, you listen to this as well. To say that Jesus is Lord and that you are his slave is to say to your family and friends gathered here today that from now on, you will live your life for Jesus. The decisions you make, your lifestyle, your relationships, your relationships with your parents if you're still living at home, your attitudes, your language, the way you live and everything about it will be shaped by him and his truth found in his word. You're saying, look, everyone, if I trip up, then please help me, because this isn't the way it's meant to be. You're committing yourself for the rest of your life to follow him and his ways in his church. Wow. Do you want to back out now? Now's your chance. Just take it back into history for one last thing. 28th of July, 1974. Somebody work that out for me. Stunned. It's quite a long time ago, isn't it? It's a significant day for me. It was my baptism as a 17-year-old, or 18-year-old, I think. 17-year-old young fella with spots and everything. And these words were read over me, and I passed them to you. So then, it's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And just occasionally, feel like Joey's felt, feel like Hannah's felt, you know, those confusing things. Even as a leader of a church, sometimes life is tough, isn't it? But keep coming back to these words. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord all those years ago, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. May God bring these words to you guys as well. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for its power. Thank you that it has the power to challenge and to inspire. And Lord, we pray that not only the four guys sitting here this morning, Lord, about to be baptized, will be encouraged by these words, but also, Lord, every one of us today will either be brought further on in our Christian life as we hear these words again, or perhaps, Lord, those who aren't, those in the faith today, Lord, might be challenged to look further. Lord, do the work that you only can do, we pray, by your Spirit at work in our hearts. And in Jesus' name, amen.